Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
In the South, it's always college football season, and the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Southern Sports Today proudly presents The Chuck Oliver Show. It's an inside look at everything college football. Now live from Atlanta, Georgia, it's time to talk college football with the reigning king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
The ACC needs to get crazy weird to raise revenue, correct? I got crazy weird for you next. Chuck Oliver Show on this Tuesday. How are y'all? No Dave Bartu today. He's got stuff and things. He's got to take care of that project with those people. So we'll have Dave next Tuesday. It's you know what it is. He's overloaded, man. It's that time of year. Draft coming up and the coaching carousel continues to run. I've got something about that coming up as well. Maybe coming up today. I've got too much stuff, folks. It's March 28th. Hadn't had a game in 2.5 months. Don't have a game for another, what is this, 5 months? And I've got too much. So I say the ACC. Now, this is under threat, among others, like very verbally and publicly from Michael Alford, the FSU athletic director. Get crazy weird to raise money. We're going to leave anyway, but get crazy weird so we'll be quieter in the interim. That's essentially the situation. They're leaving anyway. They're looking just to hush him up for a while. Do you know who they are? You know who Michael Alford is? Michael Alford is the angry, I'll say girlfriend or wife. I've never seen a guy do this. There are differences in the sexes. And decides, we're going to do this right here. Most times the guy wants to go to the car. Or can we go outside, please? No, out of this now. And so they have their fight, and that happens out like the wedding party or whatever. So Michael Alford, ACC athletic director, among the, 14 of them, he decided he's going to handle this right now. And you need to get crazy weird to raise revenue, and we're going to leave, but make us quieter in the interim. Now, what didn't get as much attention was Clemson off to the side going, yeah, us too. So I got crazy weird for you. Move the conference championship game to the higher-rated campus. Now, there are a lot of deets that could follow, and they all make sense. And I could tell you about attendance in Charlotte, and the numbers are mostly reflective of who's actually, like, the numbers. Because you'll see, I'm going to say most years, not true, but most years, between 64 and 74 are in Charlotte at Bank of America Stadium. It was Ericsson at one point, I believe, but it's Bank of America now. So it's between 64-ish. That was like Florida State and Georgia Tech. Florida State and Duke had 67. Between 64-ish and 74-ish, which is Clemson and Miami 1 year. Clemson and North Carolina 1 year. Clemson and North Carolina also had 64,000 1 year. So even Clemson being there, it's between about 64 and about 75. You put it on campus, you're going to pack out Clemson Stadium. And if even in the ACC, see, that becomes their money. And you work like you're tacking another maybe 10, 12, 15,000 people. So there's that. And there's and by the way, I know they're contracted in Charlotte through 2030. Whatever. You announce what you can announce and try to make the best deal. And maybe you just squeeze Charlotte for more money. But in the interim, you've got a premier event that you can place on a campus and you take it from something that's occasionally that upper deck. Is, I don't know, there was a tarp 1 year. There was another year. Do you remember? It was mostly anecdotal, but it kind of wasn't. Do you remember the year? Google your computer. I swear it's true. There was a year where the giant story leading up to the ACC championship game was that you could get a tour. Like most new facilities or any facility, come by the stadium during the day. We have a tour guide and you can pay like, you know, $10 or whatever and you get a tour. And sometimes it's pretty interesting, but it's also something to do during the day when you're there for the game at night and you want to pass the time. So you pay $10 and you pass about an hour and a half and you go, oh, now let's go to lunch. So that's why you do it. And the teams know that, but they're like, we can make $2,000 a day and we pay the person $15 an hour. Let's do it. So the story came out, and it was before one of the years. Might have been Clemson and Georgia Tech were playing, and there were like 44,000 people announced. That was down in Tampa, though. This was in Charlotte. And the story came out that it cost more to get the stadium tour in an empty facility on Friday than you could go to StubHub and buy a ticket to actually watch the game from inside the stadium on Saturday night. It cost more to tour an empty stadium than to be there while the game was going on. That's a bad look. So there are all kinds of whatever. All kinds of deets, and I could show you the math and contracts and this, that, and a third. And they all make sense. But there is one that I don't know. You can't do anything to top this. You couldn't do anything to mitigate this. All this other stuff, you can drop the ticket prices. You can make them dirt cheap. You can buy a Burger King value meal and get a ticket. You can do whatever you want to. Fill the stadium and turn it into an event, or you can move it to like Tallahassee. So, and then instant event. But there is one thing that you just can't change. I believe some of the fan bases involved have outright turned on that city and that stadium. Now, I've been to both Charlotte and Bank of America. I mean, not, I'm going to zero complaints. I'll go the other way. I've been to Charlotte, been to that stadium multiple times. Both of them, love them. Absolutely high marks in virtually every way. Interesting thing, and I'm not going to complain about it. I'm just saying this was interesting. Charlotte, you know when you drive in a lot of cities, it's, you know, get on this main street and this main street or this highway or this interstate or this, you know, county or whatever. Charlotte, I want to go from here to downtown Charlotte. They take you through, like, neighborhoods and just streets with houses. It's a fantastic place in the stadium, first class. However, if you're doing anything in college football in Charlotte, you're not in the game you really want to be in. Think of every last scenario of a college football game in Charlotte. And every single time, those fans wish their team was somewhere else. It's sown resentment and frustration. It ain't nothing worse than a bubbling under feeling of we're second rate. That starts when you pull out of the driveway in Bluefield, West Virginia. You know where Bluefield, West Virginia is? It's where I used to stay when I would go to Virginia Tech. It's across the state line. So how far is it? Folks, like Lane Stadium is almost like the Floribama. You're in Blacksburg. Dan, see how far Bluefield, West Virginia is from Blacksburg? And I mean right across, and I would stay at, and so I was right there. So Virginia Tech fans everywhere. You pull out of the driveway in Bluefield, West Virginia, you got about a three-hour drive to Charlotte. That's a whole lot of time to build up this, I don't want to be there. So when you get out of the car in Charlotte, you painted your face that morning, you put the magnet on the side of the car, you got the window flags and all this stuff. You get out of the car, you got a look on your face like, It's not a happy fan who is on site for a conference championship game. Every single scenario. All right, let's walk through them. Thursday night to start the season, and that happens sometimes. Hey, we got a week one neutral site paycheck game. Well, where is it? Well, it's in Charlotte. Oh, really? I thought somebody else was playing in Charlotte on Saturday. And that's actually the last time I was there, 2 years ago. Georgia and Clemson, those are first-rate programs. They don't go somewhere they don't want to be. And they went to Charlotte. Well, guess who was there on a Thursday night? App State and East Carolina. Now, that may seem like high cotton. It's not really the place you wanted to be. There's a better place to be somewhere else. Saturday afternoon of week one, there are five better games in five other places, including one September at a racetrack. It was week two, but at a racetrack where nobody could see the game. the first Saturday in December for that conference championship game. There's a better game right down the highway, and most college football fans would rather talk about what just happened in the SEC title game than watch what is still happening in the ACC championship game. Now, that's the first Saturday in December. And there's a better game somewhere else. And if you're in your car driving to Charlotte, it starts to build up. But again, that's the first Saturday in Charlotte, and at least you're in a conference championship game. What about like the fourth Tuesday night in December for the bowl game? Yeah, you really don't want to be there. Now, here is the ultimate. Here's the worst. When you have a premier opponent, you are a sort of have-not or an on-the-border sort of program, and you have a premier opponent coming to your campus, and your administration sells the game to a promoter who moves the game from, let's say, Winston-Salem to where are you going to move it? You're going to move to Charlotte. They're literally... not one scenario where you're in Charlotte and that's where you really want to be. And there is no way to escape that. You can't change that connotation. You can get weird, creative, and try to come up with ways to enhance that game. But I've told you, just from the out, I'm not in the conference and I'm not one of those fan bases. I'm not speaking as the Pitt or Wake Forest fan base or the Clemson or North Carolina fan base. I'm speaking as an outsider looking at the game going, it's a bad look sometimes. The announced numbers, they're probably close, but there are times when attendance has been sort of the story. So there's the bad-ish look. There's the anecdotal story about going to the stadium and it costs more and whatever. There's all of that. I'm talking about for the two fan bases involved. They don't want to be there. They want to be in the game. They don't want to be in that game there. And it is a reminder. And if you move to campus, you suddenly, like I said, ACC championship game. We're going to Charlotte. The Florida State fans, it'll be fantastic. Line of cars and buses and private jets and everything else. Get me to Charlotte. It's going to be fantastic. You know what's even more fantastic? Doe Campbell. Imagine we're hosting the ACC title game Saturday night at 8. Bam. So there's that. And you eliminate that whole thing of every single time you've been there in the past, it starts cycling and you're like, no, I didn't want to be there. I didn't really want to be there. It's not the game I really wanted to be in. And if it had anything to do with mayonnaise or Belk, that was a consolation prize. And it was one of the games that sometimes you would purchase the tickets and donate them to military personnel or the police. So you can change a lot of that dynamic and take away some of the resentment and frustration associated with the game. And maybe your bowl game tie-in will be better attended. Maybe if you take away some. I'm telling you, there is something. Charlotte and that stadium, they've done nothing but be first class in every way, because I visited twice there for games in that whole, like a full 3 or 4 day weekend scenario. Twice I've been there where I wasn't involved in the game. I had a blast because I wasn't involved in the game. All right, let's take a break. We will come back. Continue on this Tuesday next.
Always college football time in the South. Now back to more of the King of College Football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
All week, all years, all college football on the Chuck Oliver Show. 9 states, 60 sticks. Thank y'all for the blessing. Open the cabinet, got food in there. Because of college football conversation. So thank y'all for making that possible. Our next guest, he's sort of in that. He talks a lot of other stuff, though. I want to welcome him on now. CBS Austin, he is the sports director, and he's on TV, which means he not only puts on makeup, but I can tell you the important thing, taking off the makeup. You'll clog your pores. It'll be awful. I want to welcome on right now, Bob Ballou. How you doing, brother?
Great, Chuck. How you doing?
Doing good. I appreciate you making some time. I say all week, all year, all college football. So let's start with college basketball. Just one question, though, because, you know, I always like perspective, and it's easy to read a headline or a tweet, and sometimes you get the full story. Sometimes you don't. Ole Miss fans who either celebrate or have trepidation about their new basketball coach, can you give us a flyover of Chris Beard and maybe the full picture of who he is? And it, like with Bobby Petrino, the flyover, he's a bad guy. But go ahead, give me the flyover of Chris Beard.
Well, that's a good question. You know, I think number one, more than anything else, I think Chris Beard is a really good basketball coach. I think what he did at Texas Tech, you know, was to get them to the national title game is incredibly impressive. He had the same vision at Texas. He put together a team that was able to get to the Elite Eight this year. They obviously had visions of getting to that national title game as well, and were talented enough to do it. You know, I think he comes from a line from the Bobby Knight School of Coaching and has a little bit of that in him. But, you know, I think all in all, he's, you know, I don't know. I don't know the best way to even describe it. I think he, you know, the guys came here, wanted to play for him, and there were some guys that could have left last year, and they decided to come back because they wanted to see this thing through. And I think I think Ole Miss has a really good basketball coach on their hands. Good guy or not, that's a good question.
It's hard to endorse that, but I'm going to tell you, like, I endorsed Kirby Puckett back in the day, my favorite player ever, and then after he passed, right. I was like, oh. Right. So you don't ever know. And so I'm not, you know, asking you, hey, sign off on this guy. And you're like, yeah, I don't know if I want to do that.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think it's, you know, I think he was always nice to me. I never had any issues with him. But you don't get a, I don't know, maybe from a media perspective, and maybe that's him being guarded. And maybe that's us dealing with Rodney Terry. You know, Rodney's been really genuine, very emotional about everything that's gone on. You know, he was on the podium crying.
Oh God, he's New Year's Eve, man. I love it.
Oh man, and I don't know that you'll ever get that from Chris Beard. And maybe all of this changed his perspective on things. You know, Texas was his dream job. He went to Texas. He comes back to his alma mater. He signs a huge contract, and then it all goes away in a heartbeat. And so, you know, maybe this is something that changes a little bit of him and the tough, rugged, emotional, non-emotion that we see publicly kind of person that he is. Now, if you ask his players, maybe they have a totally different perspective. That's just coming from a media member that covered it.
All right, well, let's jump onto the football field because it's kind of funny. I told folks, because I'm not out in Austin, and so I keep an eye out there, and I try to talk to folks and stay informed, and I kept being told, look, there's this kid, Malik Murphy, he's got a hurt foot. If he were out there, he would be the competition, not Arch. But he's not going to be out there because he's hurt. Well, suddenly he's out there. Let's talk about the quarterback competition, and it doesn't really involve Arch. Is that true?
I would never say that. I think any quarterback competition is going to involve Arch when you have a five-star quarterback that is, you know, of that legacy and of the talent that he has and will continue to develop. I think he'll be a part of the competition. I think Quinn Ewers is the clear starter. I don't think there's anything, you know, beyond that. But certainly Malik Murphy's dealt with injuries since he arrived on campus. And he continues to try to overcome all of those injuries. I think you probably get to a point where you say, I've got to play through some stuff as well. And I think he's finally starting to feel a little better. So, yeah, I think when a freshman comes in or a newcomer comes in, you may see them on the second team or on the third team when they first start, because I think that's a head coach wanting guys to earn it, wanting guys to go out and earn it. If you look at, like, practice and the way guys line up 1, 2, 3, and if you see Isaiah Nayor, who's coming off a torn ACL last year, he's coming back at wide receiver, and you see A.D. Mitchell as the number two wide receiver, that means nothing come September when they line up on the field. You know, who knows who will win that competition, but I think that's just a coach wanting those guys to make sure they earn every single spot they have.
All right, last thing. We got a couple of minutes here, so you can run with a little bit. My philosophy on spring practice for running backs, if I know about the guy, I'm like, he don't need that garbage. I don't care what you do. Right. Put a freshman back there. It's a little different in Austin. I kind of want to see some reports about running backs. And it's one of, like, three places in America. I'm like, tell me about the running backs. All right, tell us about the running backs.
I really good point for a lot of reasons. I think number one, when you lose, Scott are as good as Bijan Robinson and Roschon Johnson, I think you absolutely want to see what's next. Jonathan Brooks is the guy that I think everybody said, you know, he's in line to be the next running back, and then he had to have surgery after the Alamo Bowl game. And so I think, you know, you start wanting to run down and see who are the guys that will give you that opportunity. The true freshman, Jaden Blue. Sark talked about him last year, how he was really impressive. Never really saw the field, but he was a guy that they really liked last year. You've got some newcomers. Obviously, C.J. Baxter is going to be the name that everybody looks to because he's the five-star running back that that is the guy that everybody thinks is going to be the next big thing. They moved wide receiver Savion Redd to running back, and he's like fifth in line at running back because he just moved there, but everybody loves his quickness. So, you know, again, the running back room, that was probably their best room last year, just not just based on Bijan and Roschon. Obviously, those two guys are, you know, Bijan would probably be a first-round pick. Roschon now is turning heads as possibly a second-round pick. But you look at those two guys, the guys behind them are the ones you want to see now. And, you know, Jonathan Brooks has really showed flashes, but he showed flashes in the fourth quarter because he didn't get to play a lot. But he showed big-time flashes in the fourth quarter. Then he gets the opportunity, the Alamo Bowl, and they don't really run the ball all that well. So this is a wide-open competition, and I think when you have a true freshman like C.J. Baxter coming in, he's going to get every shot to win that job and be the guy. Sark likes to use, you know, multiple running backs. So I don't know that you're going to see a guy with 30, 35 carries, and especially considering how many newcomers there are at that position. But, yeah, I mean, it is wide open in my mind for three guys to really take hold of that job, and that'd be Brooks, Blue, and Baxter, the three Bs.
Bob, appreciate the insight, brother. Thank you for coming on, man.
Anytime, Chuck.
Bob Ballou, CBS Austin sports director out yonder. He's on TV. Bob Ballou Sports is on Twitter. That's what it is. So, everybody's getting snaps over there at quarterback, just varying amounts, and who's going to actually be the starter. You kind of know that already.
This morning in North Carolina, wheels are spinning. Determination is winning. A passion is now a thriving business, and it shows no signs of slowing down. How? The power of a conversation, like the one Clint Spiegel had with First Horizon Bank about starting a bike wheel manufacturing facility in Asheville. Now it's not just talk, it's rubber meets road. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Clint. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
Now back to the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
It's Tuesday on the Chuck Oliver Show, and I've got to ask a question that I just don't want to, not anymore. If we get in the DeLorean and go back, I want to say it was the Auburn game. When would this have been? 2020, I guess. Whenever Kendall Milton was a true freshman, and it was the first possession of the third quarter, and it was a ball game, and he's a true freshman, and he's playing for that team. And he's in the game, and they start giving him the football. And I'm like, all right, he's special. True freshman against Auburn, and we didn't know what it was turning into. So, but it was, and it's a ball game, like a three-pointer, whatever it is, and he's getting carries. It's like Kendall Milton. Wow. And I keep asking the question. I started asking, and I keep asking, how long is he going to be out? Now, immediately I can tell you Georgia running back Kendall Milton's going to miss the rest of spring. So that's an answer. It's not really the answer I'm after. And honestly, the big answer is I don't want to ask it anymore. I would like to see that kid finally get his chance to be extended, consistent on a big stage. Want to welcome on right now. We'll talk that and other things from Dogs HQ. It is Palmer Toms. How you doing, brother? Palmer.
Hey there, Chuck.
How you doing, ma'am?
I'm doing well, doing well. And, yeah, I mean, you're right, talking about Kendall Milton, you know, certainly frustrating for Georgia fans here. It feels like every time you look up his name, it's something about him and an injury. It's certainly frustrating for somebody that was such a highly touted recruit coming out of high school, a California kid that came all the way across the country to Athens and, you know, just can't seem to stay healthy.
What is the expected outcome? I know it's the rest of spring, and so he won't get any work, and sometimes that's not a big deal for a running back, especially an upperclassman. But is there the hamstring, it's the rest of – they going to take 2 months to get better? I mean, this is the kind of thing where by August it's expected he's back, right?
Absolutely. I mean, Kendall will be back for the fall. Probably, I mean, if this was in season, it wouldn't be ending his season. It ends in spring because there's just 3 weeks left. And so it's a matter of, like you said, an upperclassman, a position that you don't want tread on the tires anyway.
Yep.
Just you know, hang it up for the spring. Let the other guys get opportunities. And I do think that's a you know, blessing in disguise here for Georgia, is that you're looking at a running back room that you already knew Kendall Milton was going to be a part of the rotation. You already know Dejan Edwards is going to be a part of that rotation. They're both fourth-year guys. But as you look down the line, replacing Kenny McIntosh, who's going to step up as a major pass catcher? Is it going to be Branson Robinson? Is it going to be freshman Roderick Robinson? Could it even be Andrew Paul, who's coming back off of an ACL injury that he suffered last fall camp? You know, those guys are going to get more and more opportunities this spring. Paul is not 100% live. He's going through drills. But just getting those drill reps is huge for him because he wasn't around last fall. And it's huge for a guy that's going into his second year in Branson Robinson. It's huge for a guy that's going into his first year in Roderick Robinson. So that's the blessing in disguise with this, is that you don't put more tread on the tires than you have to, or take off tread on the tires that you have to with Kendall, and you get opportunities to develop those younger backs.
I have to ask you a question. Is it Dejan? Because I've been calling him Dejan.
Dejan, you know, it's funny with Kirby, all these guys, you hear different pronunciations of their names and you never really know it until you talk to the kid. And Dejan is a kid that we haven't talked to a ton. So, you know, I don't think that you could go wrong there.
All right. I don't know if you're even old enough. There was a lineman there. He was Max Gene Gillis. And he was there. He was there about 15 years ago. And I'm not telling, this guy's like 340 pounds. He's this massive guy. And his senior year, he told everybody, I think he was Haitian. He said, it's actually Max Jean Gillis. And I was like, brother, I'll call you whatever you want. Quincy Maugey, if you remember, he became Quincy Maugey his senior year. I was like, I'll call you what you want, man. Palmer Times, Dogs HQ, that's on 3.com, does a great job. Let's talk running backs. And now, I want to ask about the changing role, though, because, like, Zamir White is a freshman. He had a different role when he was a senior. Dejan Edwards, I thought as a freshman, I was like, well, that's what he is. He's the ground and pound to get rid of the final 7 minutes of the game. That is not what Edwards is. He's got a much bigger game. Like, I'm looking at Branson right now. I'm going, oh, I think I have him figured. I'm like, no, wait a minute. I just saw this happen three other times. What is Edwards? What is his whole game?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. It felt like for a while there, his freshman and his sophomore year, that he was the human victory cigar, that he was the guy that you put out there at the end of the game to just, you know, chew off some clock. And now you're looking at a guy that I think could lead the team in carries, especially if Kendall Milton is going to battle injuries. You know, if that's going to be a concern, if that's in the back of your mind, you know, maybe you want to limit him some to you know, limit the amount of hits that he takes. Dejan Edwards is a guy that's big, that's physical, that's tough, that can run between the tackles and can get all those carries. I mean, obviously you don't want to, you know, run him into the ground, especially early on and with the schedule that Georgia's got. But I do think that he's going to be the guy that leads this team in rushing yards and carries next season. Was not all that far behind Kenny McIntosh last year in that role. And Kenny probably isn't somebody that I would have expected to lead the team in carries, maybe so in yards, because he had a little bit more big play ability there. I think that Dejan is developing as a pass catcher as well. We've seen that some. That's certainly something that I think that he's going to need to continue to develop. And like I said, without having Kendall Milton around the rest of this spring, that's an opportunity. Every one of those passes that's going out of the backfield from one of these quarterbacks, it's going to somebody other than Kendall Milton now. It's going to Dejan Edwards. It's going to one of the Robinsons. It's going to Andrew Paul. Those guys are going to get an opportunity to develop, and I think that could be huge for Dejan because he is going into that fourth season, and he is taking over a primary spot in this backfield.
All right, let's flip it around. I want to ask you about a couple of kids, and I mean like kids, children. The first digit's still a one. And not Michael either, because we already talked about him because he started and played a bunch and had a bunch of sacks. Let's talk about Marvin Jones Jr., because he didn't play a whole lot, and I think he can be this big, giant dude who can maybe emerge this year, but the two deep is so jammed up. Just tell me about a guy, your vision, what you believe they think of Marvin Jones in the building and what his role could be this year.
Yeah, and I think springtime right now is a tough time to establish that for Marvin because he's out for the spring with a shoulder surgery. I do think that as you look at that two deep, like you said, it's loaded. I mean, Chaz Chambliss is a guy that has played a lot of snaps, more snaps than everyone else in that room because it's an incredibly young room, but it is really, really talented. Marvin maybe being the most talented of them. So wow. I think that he's got the opportunity this fall, once he gets back healthy, to get out there and establish himself as a three down outside linebacker or, a pass rush specialist. I mean, Georgia hasn't had too many of those guys that you just look at out there at third down and they're rushing the passer, pinning their ears back, because that's not how Kirby Smart runs his defenses. He wants them to stop the run. He wants that to be a priority. And you've heard that from the guys that have gone on to the NFL. Nolan Smith has said, in order to rush the passer, you have to stop the run. And that's as a defense, as an individual. So I think that's going to be important for Marvin. I mean, if you look at his tackle numbers from last year, it wasn't like he was a huge run stopper there. He was more of a specialty role. But that's what you see with freshmen, especially, under Kirby Smart. Yeah. You see those guys that are really talented, that they think they can plug and play them in a very specific role and develop them into a all-around player as a sophomore, as a junior. You mentioned Michael Williams. That's a guy that got developed into an all-around player throughout his freshman year. Those are pretty rare. But with a guy like Marvin Jones, I think Darius Smith falls into that category too as a sophomore. And then some of these really, really talented freshmen. I mean, they signed three of the top 10 edge rushers in the country in Damon Wilson, Sam Mpemba, and Gabe Harris. All three of those guys are on campus this spring. With Marvin not being in that room this spring, being a little bit banged up, it's another opportunity for some of those younger guys to establish themselves. But I do think that Marvin Jones Jr. is going to be a big part of this Georgia defense come the fall.
Last question, Palmer Toms, Smile Munden. And he wasn't even the best emerging linebacker last year. I think that was Jamon Dumas-Johnson. But Smile Munden is a guy that I really enjoyed his game last year. All right, what's next? Because he wasn't experienced last year. So what's the benefit? What's he going to be in 2023 as an even better version?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you look at Smile Munden and the player that he was in the second half of the season, he was maybe one of the top five linebackers in the country. And I think, we saw Jamon Dumas Johnson up for the Butkus Award because he was so incredibly dominant early in the season and continued that late into the season. But with a banged up Munden, there was a lot more opportunities there. Smile missed a couple of games. I think he ended up, missing two, maybe Auburn and Vanderbilt there, middle of the season area. But down the stretch, it felt like you were constantly seeing him at the top of Georgia's tackling numbers. And, he's an incredibly athletic linebacker in the middle of that defense. It's exactly what you want, exactly what Glenn Schumann wants when he recruits these guys. And so I think that Smile Munden can be what Channing Tindall was as a senior, but probably even more productive because he's going to be in that room as one of two main guys as opposed to one of three main guys that Channing was in that 2021 defense.
Boy, that is uber productive stuff there. All right, man. I appreciate you coming on and just kind of giving us a little input there. Thank you, man.
Of course. Thanks.
Great stuff. Wow. That's high cotton. And he was, like, the last month of the season, I was like, oh, Smile Munden. And he's sort of a localish guy to where I'm from anyway. But, I don't know him or anything. But it was one of those kids that you hear a name and you're like, oh, where? And then you see it actually kind of play out. And I mean kind of early. And then it really took off. Totally different situations with Adam Anderson and then last year with Nolan Smith. But you win the national championship. You accelerate to the national championship. You shift to fifth gear. When you, after, as a result of, pick your phrasing, it's not connected to it. It can't be because you don't get better by losing. They got somehow better and won the national championship the past two seasons, losing their best pass rusher about halfway through the year. Adam Anderson 2 years ago, and then last year, Nolan Smith. Now, it was an injury and then a rape allegation. So, and I don't even, honestly, I haven't heard any sort of something happening with Adam Anderson in the past probably year and a half. Nolan Smith, I'm going to hear from him in about a month from now. We'll hear from him. He's going to be drafted. So, Georgia has had that same event happen. Now, if the two deep, it's the same thing. That's the guy we're going to line up on the edge, and he's going to sick him. Go get him. And after like six games, all right, well, he's gone. What do we do now? And you adjust, and you win a national championship. So, boy, is that impressive. We're going to break, come back, wrap up hour one next.
The king of college football, no matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
I thought Holden Griner. I thought he really stood out all week with his improvement and his play. And not that the others didn't improve also, but I thought I thought his grasp of what we were trying to do, he was impressive.
All right, that's Hugh Freeze. He's the Auburn head coach. He called him Holden Griner. I've heard it Gurner. All right, he called him Griner. So we're just taking the E right out. Is that what we're doing? Hugh Freeze, Auburn head coach, talking to the media following they had practice and then they had spring break and then now they're having practice again. And he is talking about Holden Griner. I called him Griner. I thought it was Gurner. And I'll put it this way. He's talking about Holden Griner. He's not talking about Robbie Ashford or TJ Finley. So there's that. And here's what my understanding of the rising redshirt freshman Holden Griner is pocket guy, my guess, mostly. And boy, he's got a live arm, like a really strong one. And bright enough kid, and he's been a winner and a champion and, you know, whatever. So all of that's great. And he got a scholarship at a place like Auburn. So all is fantastic. So Hugh Freeze mentioned Holden Griner, not Robbie Ashford, TJ Finley, in that same comment there. That's all it is. Last week, he didn't mention anybody. In fact, I'll take that as the blue sky, is that a week ago, he was asked about the quarterbacks, and it was including the wide receivers as well. But he was asked about the wide receivers, the quarterback, the passing game. He says everything associated with that, the guy who throws the ball, the guy who, everybody in that group, the quarterback, talk about the quarterbacks in the passing game. He was like, let's talk about the receivers as well. Like, that's how that happened. He's like, no, let's talk about everybody. He said, this is a quote, I wish we were further along. The quarterbacks and receivers, his words, they got a long way to go. So it has been a minute since Auburn has had a real, like, modern downfield passing game. I'm telling you, the weirdness of the final season with Gus, it seemed like it was a pass at the line of scrimmage or it was a shot play. There are times we just parrot what we hear on TV. I don't believe this is one of those times. I was like, that's not how you do it. That's just not. And when it was productive, it was almost a surprise. Because there were some, like, Bo Nix was talented, even as a freshman. Like, Seth Williams was talented. Anthony Schwartz run really fast. So that was, but at least they had guys that kind of looked NFL-ish. And I'm like, why are you using them that way? They don't have NFL guys. I said last year, I don't see, there's not one receiver on that roster that looks like a third-team All-SEC guy. And the quarterbacks? Robbie Ashford had some statistical success, and he had some on-field success that led to, what is it, 2 wins for Coach Caddy? Yay, 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 all of that. I don't eliminate Robbie Ashford as a potential starting quarterback. He has to get the passing part. At some point, see, this is the truth. In spite of all everything else that we can talk about, athleticism, dual threat, occupy the safety, occupy the middle linebacker, occupy a spy, whoever, occupy everybody. It's Canadian League. They put a 12th guy out there. In spite of all that, do you know what it comes down to? For every quarterback, at some point, do you know what it comes down to? You have to stand in the pocket and deliver the ball downfield. There was a play, Bo Jackson, now he's maybe the best college running back ever. And maybe he's not, but maybe he is. Maybe it's Barry Sanders. Maybe it's Herschel. Maybe, I don't know, whoever. Maybe it's Kevin Falk. So Bo's maybe the greatest running back in college football. Like, in the history of all the college running backs, it might be Bo. They were playing, I mean, a really outstanding defense. Georgia Tech, the Black Watch defense, Ted Roof and that whole bunch. And it's 3rd and 9 on the road. 3rd and 9. They run a quick pitch. Bo takes it like 74 for a touchdown. Okay, that's not real. That's when you're Pat Dye and you're like, if you throw the football, you may go to hell. And you have Bo Jackson. When both of those things are true, then on 3rd and 9, you run a quick pitch. You don't do that if you have any sort of understanding that, you know, throwing the ball is good. So that means that you just got to have big, big, big improvement. And on a 3rd and 9, at some point, you have to stand in the pocket and deliver the ball downfield. And that ain't what Robbie Ashford does right now. He might be able to do that. You can develop that and get better at it, especially if it's, quote, just for Saturdays. But right, every quarterback at some point got to stand in the pocket and throw the ball downfield because it's 3rd and 9 and you're not running a quick pitch in 2023. Dan, how you doing?
Remember that in my old Catholic CCE classes. I mean, you know, I think that the church has kind of come around since then because, you know, obviously the game of football is the way it is. But no, that's probably something that was definitely in the good book down here for some time. Kidding, of course. Nobody needs to write the management.
No. Can I tell you this? No, it's not sacrilege. I've told you, I've been at the Santuck Flea Market, the Last Supper, except it's Bear Bryant at the middle of the table. That's just what it is, man.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, you know, that's the other thing is, too.
So you have a little bit of flexibility in the South. Go ahead.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, Nick Saban has had his depiction of Christ on plates at the River Chase Galleria. I've seen it all. Absolutely. No doubt about it. Speaking of Nick Saban and Alabama, they're to blame. And who are they to blame for? Clemson. Because the last couple of years, it's been people asking, hey, what's up with Clemson? Why aren't they, you know, dominating the ACC anymore? Why aren't they making it into the college football playoff? I mean, there's got to be something wrong. Oop, Dabo's not getting the same players that he had. Yeah, he's losing those games that he used to win. And I think that it's just a really untouchable standard that was set for some time there at Alabama, where even Alabama themselves, I mean, the 2019 season, they missed the college football playoffs. It's everybody looking around aghast. how could this even be the case? And then this past season, they don't even make the college football playoff again. They're playing in the Sugar Bowl, and it's kind of the same deal where people are now starting to wonder, has the, you know, just proverbial tide, no pun intended, changed from Tuscaloosa now to Athens? But I think it probably has. But at the same time, though, Clemson was neck and neck with Alabama, so people thought that they were Alabama, when the truth of the matter is, guess what? Greatness usually only has room for one team, and the fact that Clemson was playing as well as they were for some time, it shows you just how good Dabo built it.
Ain't no doubt about that. And how hard it is to stay in that realm once you're lucky enough to get there.
In today's fast-paced world, your business deserves banking solutions that are as dynamic and cost-effective as you are. Solutions like free business checking from LGE Community Credit Union, free online and mobile banking, no minimum balance required, plus no maintenance fees and dividends on your balance. At LGE, we're a smarter way to bank. See what's possible for your business at lgeccu.org. No monthly maintenance fees. Other service fees such as NSF, overdraft, wire, and stop payment fees still apply. Not all businesses will qualify. Membership eligibility and base savings account that keeps a $5 minimum balance required.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.